Good morning. As you all know, I'm a big John Wayne fan, and in one of his movies, The Sands of Iwo Jima, he made a statement, his character did in the movie, and it's very true. He says, life's tough. It's tougher if you're stupid. And I mean, and it is. Life's tough. I don't care how you look at it, it's tough. But from a Christian perspective, life's tough. It's tougher if you don't have Jesus. Amen. I really don't know how people make it without a belief in God. I don't know how people, I'm seriously saying that. I don't know. It's tough enough sometimes when you have faith. It's tough enough when you are saved. Just the being a human going through this thing called life. The physical things we go through. And that's everybody. You know, Jesus told his disciples, you know, God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. And I don't care who you are, good people suffer. Bad people suffer. Bad people, you know, seem to sometimes go through life without things, but they don't. They go through suffering also. It's tough. And I don't know how people face loss of loved ones. I don't see how people face financial hardships. I don't see how they face a health scare. I don't see how they endure persecutions at work or in the neighborhood or whatever it is. We've all been through it. If you haven't faced something, good for you, because every person I know has. Life's tough. It's tougher without Jesus, without God in your life. And that's what I'd like for us to look at today, is life with Jesus, the benefits from it. There has been a point in our lives where we didn't have Jesus. There was a point in our lives before we were saved, before we followed Jesus, before we studied the Bible, before we prayed. There was a period of time in our life when that was common for us. But now we have Jesus. Look at the things. And that's what I would like for us to do this morning, is take a few minutes and look at the benefits we get and what keeps us going in spite of those bad things that do happen, and I hate to be the bearer of bad news, are going to continue to happen. We're going to face things that's going to happen. But because we have God in our lives, because we have Jesus, because we've put Him on in baptism and are a member of the Lord's body, we can face those things easier. One of the things that life with Jesus gives us is purpose. I look around and I look at a lot of the people that I encounter in life. They're drifting. They're drifting through life. Like leaves, just, you know, a gust of wind comes and they go whatever way the wind blows. And then it may go back the other way. They have absolutely no purpose. And that is sad. That it really is. To just go an existence of day to day without feeling a... How's that? Can you hear? Very good. Could always talk louder if need be. I was thinking it was kind of cutting in and out. Didn't know if it was just my voice. Solomon was somebody that had a lot of pursuits. He was the wisest man around, had wisdom, he had pleasure, power, wealth at his fingertips. And he would write toward the end of his life, looking back, reflecting, he would write, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all." I think the New American Standard Version says, "For this is man's whole duty." But this is man's all. That is our purpose. We don't have to go through life just being blown like leaves. We don't have to go through life wondering, why am I here? This is why we're here, to fear God and to keep His commandments. To give God the praise, the respect, the honor that is due Him. And this is all we can do, is to fear God and keep His commandments. In Mark 12, verse 30, Jesus is talking to His disciples and He says, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart." All your heart. Not reserve a little bit of it for God and a little bit for this and a little bit for that. All your heart. With all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. Even though he's referring to the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, this is the first commandment. Yes, I know we're not under the old law. This applies to us today. And in a lot of ways, not only was it the first commandment, it is the foremost commandment. Yes, all commandments of God are equal. The Word of God is equal. I get it. But if we did this, everything would fall into place.
Amen.
Seek first His kingdom and all these things shall be added to you. Matthew 6:33. This is the first commandment, the foremost commandment. This applies to anybody at any time. Whether it was the patriarchal era, under the Mosaic law, or the Christian dispensation. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Not the leftover. But God, you don't understand. I got kids I'm raising. You don't understand. We're so swamped at work. You don't understand. I think He does. He gave us this commandment. He gave us this commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. In Matthew 28, we generally call this the Great Commission. God wants us to do this. Jesus gave this commandment right before ascending into heaven. And he told his apostles, granted, he was saying this to his apostles, it doesn't apply to us. It applies to us today just as much as it applied to them. He says, "Go therefore." If you ever find yourself on a Saturday afternoon bored, nothing to do, if you ever find yourself twiddling your thumbs, I can't remember. I remember times in my life when I was bored, but it's been so long ago, I can barely remember not having something to do. But if you ever find yourself bored, take heed to this. He told his disciples, he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, that's not just a one-time preach the word to somebody. Making disciples is a process. Making disciples is what Jesus did with his followers. It's training them. It's teaching them. It's bringing them up in a direction. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Here's our purpose. Our purpose in life is to share what somebody else has shared with us. Not just somebody, but multiple people have made us who we are today. Multiple people have shared and have taught and have trained us to be the people that we are. We need to do the very same thing. Go and make disciples, teaching them to observe everything, baptizing them. I was so happy for Terrence. I was so happy for Samuel the other day that Terrence had encountered him in his life. That he had somebody that could teach him the Word of God more correctly. Here was a young man that had desire. I thought of the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip. In fact, the way they met each other was like that. Terrence saw him reading a Bible and they started talking. And it wound up after study, it ended up in Samuel being saved. Jesus gives us hope. I heard a statistic recently that I don't remember the percentage, but about how high of a suicide rate there is in the United States. And they broke it down in various age groups and so forth. And it was appalling. The suicide, the decision to take your own life. I would think that comes an awful lot from people not seeing any hope. If you just had a light at the end of the tunnel of what you're going through, if you could just get to that end of the tunnel. But a lot of people don't ever see that light. A lot of people, they don't have that hope. And they wind up taking their own lives. Life with Jesus gives us hope. In Romans 5, starting in verse 1, Paul is writing to the Christians in Rome, and he says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access. We have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Having that kind of hope is so much better than just getting through an event. This is a hope that we can put stock in. This is a hope that we can hold on to. And it's not wishful thinking hope. It is that access to the grace of God. In Jeremiah 17, It says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. Blessed is that kind of a man. That when we can trust in the Lord, when we can lean on the Lord, that's strength, that's hope. And it says, whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. We have that kind of hope as a Christian, that when we encounter the various trials that Paul talked about, when we encounter this thing called life, we won't be shaken. Because our roots, when we trust in the Lord, are going to be deep. They're going to sustain us even in a period, as it says here, drought. When we face those times of drought in our lives, when nothing is going right, well, a lot of it is attitude, but when nothing seems to be going right, we will be sustained. 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 54, so when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The only thing as a Christian, if we allow the devil that power, the only thing the devil has on us is fear of death. And the closer we are to God, the more we have Jesus in our life, and the more we keep the perspective, big deal. We've conquered death. Jesus has conquered it for us. As Paul's saying, oh death, where's your sting? Is that all you got? Is the fear of death the best worry that you can throw my way? Where's your victory? We've overcome death thanks to Jesus. And the last thing I'd like to look at real quick is he gives self-esteem. Life with Jesus gives us self-esteem if for any other reason. God sent Jesus for us. If you get feeling down in the dumps and want to just sit down in the middle of the road and eat worms and play the woe is me pity party, God sent his son for you. And you're feeling bad about yourself? Oh, but Jesus, you don't understand. People are mean to me. I think he does. Oh, Jesus, you don't understand. You know, I had a good friend that betrayed me. I think he knows. He gives us self-esteem if we allow that. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. If that doesn't give us self-esteem, I don't know what does. God knows every intimate thing about us. He knows, start to say every hair in our head, but that's not, you know, me and Jerry, that, you know, that's not hard to count, those hairs. Knows everything about us. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. In Hebrews 13, the writer says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's coming from God. God will never leave us or forsake us. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Talk about having somebody in your corner. Amen. When the chips are down. That will never leave you, nor forsake you. And our last verse I'd like to look at this morning is John 10, starting in verse 10. This is Jesus is comparing himself to a shepherd. And the sheep are us. It says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. Jesus is our shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He is the shepherd that has invested in us. He's not a hireling. He has died for us to protect us, to give us life. He says, I know my sheep and they know me. I am known by my own. Life with Jesus makes it possible for us to get through this thing called life. I don't know how people do it without Jesus. It's tough enough sometimes with him. But he gives us so much. But to have the access to those blessings, you have to be a member of the Lord's body. You have to have been buried with him in baptism. He adds you to his church. If you're not a member, you can be so today by being baptized. You've heard the word of God. If you believe the word of God and confess that to men, if you're willing to repent of your sins, be baptized into his blood, and willing to live the rest of your life following his commands, obeying him, all those blessings that we just talked about are yours. I'd rather have life with Jesus than life without Jesus. If you need to respond to the invitation through baptism, through prayers, through if you need to repent of sins, we will do what we can to assist you. Please come forward while we stand and sing, and Daryl will lead us in the invitation song.